Wasn't it Monday that I was talking about my little town of Greenwich, Ohio, and how small it is, it was, and still is? Yeah, I was thinking about that. I gotta tell you how small this little town was. I mean, it was so small, I remember we had a blackout one day. The whole town went black. Somebody tripped over the extension cord. Yeah, I mean, the mayor had to annex property just to eat a foot-long hot dog. Seriously, that's how small this town was. I remember Main Street dead-ended in both directions. It's like you can't get there from here. You can't get out. You can't get in. It's a very mysterious little burg. This is Martin Zender, and we're finishing up today. I am, anyway. You're listening on the political situation, the friendship situation between Israel and Turkey, because, as you know, the seven ecclesias will be gathered in modern-day Turkey to begin the preparations for the tribulation. Now, I'm going to skip all the bad stuff, and I'm going to get directly to the good things that have happened since June 27th, 2016. That's not too long ago. And I'm not saying that there has to be a positive political situation between Israel and Turkey for this migration to take place, for these ecclesias to be established here. It does not have to be that way. But I'm thinking it wouldn't be bad if it was that way. But then God can overcome anything. But then all I'm doing is giving you facts. All I'm doing is telling you how things are now, and you can decide if the hand of God is in this or isn't it. But of course, we know that, of course, the hand of God is in it. A reconciliation agreement was announced on the 27th of June, 2016, to end the six-year rift in the relation between both countries. The Turkish parliament will pass a law canceling all appeals against Israeli soldiers involved in the killing of nine Turkish citizens during the Gaza flotilla raid. There's that Gaza flotilla raid again, and will also block any future claims. Commitment to stop terrorist or military activity against Israel on Turkish soil. I think that's a good idea. In any administration, including funding and aid to such activities from Turkey, Palestinian movement Hamas will be allowed to operate on Turkish soil, but only as a political movement. What? A Palestinian movement Hamas, that's a terrorist organization, is it not? Will be allowed to operate on Turkish soil, but only as a political movement. In other words, you can only talk about terrorism. Yeah, you can hand out brochures about how you're going to blow up people, but you can't actually blow them up. Great. Turkey will accept to send all aid to the Gaza Strip through Israel and then from Israel to Gaza on land. No idea what that sentence means. It is poorly written. It can be taken five different ways. Israel will allow Turkey to advance humanitarian projects in the Gaza Strip. Why would Turkey want to do that? Oh, well, the Gaza Strip, I suppose, that's owned by the Palestinians, right? That's that little strip of Gaza. Such as building an hospital, power station, and a desalination station, all subjected to Israeli security considerations. If you're going to desalinate water, if you're going to take salt out of anything, you must be subject to our security considerations. This makes me realize how stupid human politics is. These things are ridiculous. Why are we talking about desalination and building an hospital? An hospital. And the Gaza Strip, this little piece of land, it's so petty. It's a penny in the bank of the earth. So petty. This is why it's such a joy, ladies and gentlemen, to not own anything. You know, it pains me to look into this squabble, and I'm reading about the reconciliation. We shall desalinate, but only under your jurisdiction. It's just, I hate this stuff. I hate what I'm reading. And tomorrow, I don't care how far I get here, it's enough of it. Tomorrow, which is Friday, it's Revelation 22. And we are making a run for show 800. That's it, folks. There's going to be 20 more shows. That's it. I'm done with the Revelation series at show 800. It's too perfect. I'm too close to the end. What could there possibly be in Revelation 22 except the fulfillment and the fruition, the coming to fruition of everything begun in Genesis? Crap. I could probably do a series for 6 months just on Revelation 22. We'll see what happens when I get into it tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see if I can get past the first word of the first verse. I haven't looked at it in a while, and I'm not going to look at it. It's already in me deeply. And so I'm not going to look at it until I come to it tomorrow with you. So tomorrow's going to be a great day. Tell all your friends about what's going to happen tomorrow. That Martin Zender, the world's most Martin Zender, on Friday, tomorrow, tune in. The world's most outspoken Bible scholar is going to go in cold to Revelation 22. Anything could happen. You don't want to miss it. Back to these damned Turks and Israelis. It's just so temporary. This stuff is so temporary. It's so passing away. These considerations are so transient and soulish and biting, and everyone wants to bite everybody else. Everybody wants what's coming to them. They want their fair share. You remember Lucy in the Charlie Brown special? It might have been Sally, Charlie Brown's sister, in the Halloween special. I think it is. She wanted to go out trick-or-treating, and she wanted lots of candy and the right kind of candy. Or maybe it was her making a Christmas list. It was definitely Sally, not Lucy. And she said this, I'll never forget it. I just want what's coming to me. I want my fair share. It was so funny seeing a kid say that, watching a kid say that. I just want what's coming to me. I want my fair share. That this child in the Charlie Brown cartoon was already acting like an adult. It's adults, so-called, who want what's coming to them. They want their fair share. Someone asked me recently, tell me about your hopes and dreams. And I appreciated the question. I really did. And this was my answer, a very sad answer. I said, all my hopes and dreams have been dashed like unglazed pottery against a brick wall. Other than that, thanks for asking. However, ladies and gentlemen, I know this also for a fact, that my hopes and dreams are dormant. They're hibernating like a bear in the winter. They're sucking on their own fat and not daring to show their face in the light of day because of how many times they've been smashed against a brick wall like so much unglazed pottery. Excuse me. And so, many of my hopes and dreams, thank you for asking, are put in the next basket, the basket of the next life, Eon 4, when we're snatched together to meet Christ. But I can't deny the fact that I still have earthly hopes and dreams. And yet, are they not being realized? I mean, here I am, sleeping in a laundry room. I have the washer and dryer. Washer, dryer, can do my clothes anytime I want, day or night. Let's change the topic. Back to these damned Turks and Israelis, who are both babies. They're babies. Oh, Turkey will accept this. Oh, yeah, I read that. It doesn't make sense. Israel will allow Turkey to advance humanitarian projects in the Gaza Strip. Yeah, building an hospital. Israel will give $20 million as compensation for the families of those who died or were injured in the raid. We're going back to that damn Gaza flotilla raid. The money will be transferred through a humanitarian fund in Turkey. An Israeli official said the money will be transferred only after the Turkish parliament will pass the law renouncing all appealings, not appeals, but appealings against Israel soldiers involved in the incident. I wonder if those appealings have anything to do with the building of an hospital. Hard to say. The two countries will start a process of renormalizing their relations. Of course, because two countries, they renormalize things. They don't simply make things better, or they don't simply work together, or they don't simply talk. No, they have to renormalize. They even use a political term to describe a political process, renormalizing. Wicca stupid heads. Reappointing ambassadors to Ankara and Tel Aviv and ending all sanctions between the two. Oh, yes, well, we have to have our ambassadors to Ankara and Tel Aviv. These are the capitals, the respective capitals. The agreement was approved by the Israeli Security Cabinet by a vote of 7-3 on June 29. The agreement was then approved by the Turkish Parliament on August 20, 2016. Turkish President Recep then signed the agreement on August 31st. Who cares what the date is? Who cares? On October the 7th, Turkey named foreign policy expert Kermel Okum as ambassador to Israel, though he will not be officially confirmed until Israel names their ambassador to Turkey after the Jewish holidays conclude on October 27th. All this happened last year. Israel's decision to name an ambassador was later postponed. Well, of course it was, because that's all people on earth do, is postpone things. Sometimes the best thing to do is postpone something. And thank God that this word postpone is making me think of something to get me off of this ridiculous subject that I've chosen to embark upon, Israeli-Turkish political relations. And that is, after having ripped the Turks and the Israelis for postponing things, I tell you that postponing things oftentimes is the most spiritual thing you can do. You can put things off. The reason you're putting things off is because you're not sure. And so if you're not sure, then maybe there is something spiritually hesitating you. I just put hesitate, I know, as a verb, I'm sorry. Maybe there's something that makes you think that doing this thing is not right, so you keep putting it off. As if you should do it. I should do this, but I keep putting it off. What do you mean? Maybe you shouldn't do it. Maybe putting it off is not necessarily an exercise in flesh. Not trying to excuse myself here. It could be, but it might also be a spiritual inclination that you're not supposed to do something. Procrastination may be of God. I've heard it said that if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. That sounds so unspiritual, but yet I think there's something to it, because not doing anything has spared me, I believe, many, many times. And yet I did have a homemade sign posted on my printer back in Greenwich, Ohio, when I had my office up there on top of the post office across from the bank down the road from the library and the grocery store that said, when in doubt, do it. So now I'm wondering if I'm a hypocrite. Let me think about this. I believe that if you don't know what to do, you should do nothing. And nothing could be the most fantastic thing you could possibly do. And yet, I also believe that when in doubt, do it. Is it possible that when in doubt is not doing nothing? When you're in doubt, it's not like you're doing nothing. When you don't know what to do, do nothing. So not knowing what to do is not the same as doubt. That's what it is. Not knowing what to do is like you're void, you're vacant, you're a blank slate, you're a chalkboard with not a single chalk mark, and you don't know what to do, so then you don't do anything. Perfect. But if you're in doubt, that means something has entered your purview. There has been a message on the chalkboard of your mind, and you're considering it, but you don't know, you're in doubt. And I guess what I meant by that sign, when in doubt, do it, is I'm a man of action. I'm a man of purpose. I told you, the greatest thing somebody said to me once was a clerk at a grocery store. She said, "You seem like a man with a purpose." Why? Because I was walking purposefully through the grocery store, unambiguously seeking that which I was seeking. which was, I believe, a stick of butter. And so, indeed, I was a man with a purpose. I appreciate that being noted. Apparently, not many people stroll with purpose. It's true. Most people have very poor posture. I'm doing anything to avoid talking about the turkey people. I think that, look, why work out when you can simply improve your posture and look like you've been exercising for a month? You can either stand like this, ladies and gentlemen. You can either stand like this and like you bend over, and most people just, they slouch and they slump, and it looks very bad. And when you do that, it's like your midsection just pooches out and it looks like you're fat like this. But see, this is me purposely, and this happens when you bend over. So your chest goes concave, your belly goes convex, and it's a very bad combination. Concave chest, convex belly is not good for either men or women. Here's what you do. You stand up straight, and you let your chest go convex. You let your chest go out, and your stomach goes concave. Now look at me, will you? Look at me. Look at me. And you put your hips forward. You see this? My ass is back here. I'm pushing it forward, not to ridiculous lengths. I'm pushing it forward at the same time aligning my spine, which by nature gives me a concave stomach and a convex chest. So I'm going like this, and look at me, will you? I look like I've worked out for years. Actually, I have, but that's beside the point. But if you don't work out and you don't want to work out, at least improve your posture. It will look like you've worked out. It's very important. These are simple tricks that you can do to enhance your profile, to improve your overall appearance, to attract members of the opposite sex, and to generally feel good about yourself. Some people don't feel good about themselves. I've known some. Well, let's end that conversation right there. How much time do I have left? Am I done with this? Yeah. Okay, economic relations. There was a fair trade agreement in 97. Who cares? Military collaboration. Modernization of Turkey's F-4 Phantoms and F-5 aircraft. Who cares? Aero anti-ballistic missiles agreed in principle by Israel, approved by the United States. Pending. Of course it's pending. Everything's pending. Even our snatching away is pending, which troubles me. Tourism. Now this is an important topic. Not as important as your posture, but this will help. Put your chin up. I'm not saying put it like up here. I'm just saying do level. Let your eyes be level. Okay? Let your eyes be level. Now, I got a great running tip for those of you who run. This has to do with posture. Running is basically a controlled fall. What you want to do is you want to lean forward when you run. You want to take advantage of gravity. Most people don't do that. They sit back, they lean back, and they throw their legs out and land on their heels. This is called heel striking. But then, see, some people will correct heel striking by landing on their toes or landing on their forefoot. But they don't realize that if you're just landing on your forefoot without thinking of anything else, you're going to injure yourself because it's unnatural to land on your forefoot apart from other important considerations, namely the position of your hips. It's like a forefoot landing if you're running is a result of other alignments. It's just the result. If you think of it as the first order of business where your foot falls, no, your foot falls where it falls. There are other things that are much more important, and once you get those things straightened out, your foot will fall naturally. What things am I talking about? Excellent question. I'm basically talking about your hips. Your hips. When you run, your hips must be level. And when I say to fall forward, I don't mean you fall forward from the waist. If you fall forward from the waist, you're doing this. Very bad thing. Watch. Fall forward this way. No. You keep yourself straight, your spine, and you fall forward, you break at the ankles. So you fall forward like this, not like this. Watch again on the laundry cam. Like this and not like this. You fall forward at your ankles. Please. At the ankles. Now, as you're falling forward, you must be careful to keep your hips in the forward position, because as you're falling forward, it's so tempting to tuck your hips back, but you don't want that because that will disalign your spine. It's very bad. So you want to keep your hips above your legs, not behind your legs, above your legs. And then you fall forward. By doing this, your legs will not fall forward while keeping your hips up. I can't tell you how, in my mind, because it's profane. It's profane. People will stumble at it. I suppose I could beep it out of the... I have three words that I use when I run to keep myself aligned. But here's the most important thing, again, is that you twist your hips. You run with your hips. You run like this. Watch the fist. It's like you picture your spine as a pole and your hips revolving around the pole. So you're basically just pivoting your hips back and forth. That's how you run. So when you run, you don't tell yourself to run faster, because then you do weird things. You start to push your legs ahead, pull your legs back, pump your arms like a frickin' steam drill. You don't want to do that. When you tell yourself to run faster, what you really do is you twist harder. You twist harder. And your rest of your body, all you're doing is twisting your hips and making sure they're aligned, and the rest of the body falls where it may. Your legs are not even running. You should never run with your legs. Remember, I told you this. You do not run with your legs. You only use your legs to break your fall. That's the only thing your legs are good for while you're running. You are not even engaging your legs. Your legs are inert things hanging from the end of your hips. You should not either extend your legs, push your legs. Your legs are doing nothing except breaking your fall, keeping your ass from dragging on the road. That's all your legs are good for while you're running or walking. The main thing is to get those hips aligned with the spine and pivot them. Pivot the hips. Pivot the hips. Fall from your ankles. Keep your hips out, for God's sake. Don't tuck those hips back. Do not let me see you tucking your hips back. Keep them straight. Fall. And then you're basically running downhill the whole time. Ladies and gentlemen, I run downhill while running uphill. It's true. I would not tell you it was true if it was not true, because such a claim would be ridiculous, apart from it being true. I literally run downhill while running uphill. I'm still using gravity, bending at the ankles, not at the waist. Ankles, not at the waist. And rotate those hips. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You should be like a model on the catwalk. A model on the catwalk. Swing them hips, baby. Swing them hips. Go Elvis on me.